city was finally destroyed. Now, sometime between that prophecy of Jonah and the destruction of Nineveh in 606, this prophet spoke. We'll talk to you about the destruction of Nineveh because it was a very dramatic historic experience. The word Nahum itself means comforter, consolation. Now, it was a consolation to the people of Israel because Nineveh is going to, the Assyrians are going to get it. And they had been tormenting and abusing the people of Israel, and they would be comforted by this. Capernaum, a very common name in our New Testament, means the village of Nahum. And very likely this was the home of this prophet. Well, let's look now and see what we have here in these three chapters. First of all, in chapter 1, why God is going to deal with the Assyrian oppressor. We identify the prophet and the people addressed in 1:1. The burden of Nineveh. Now, the word burden, as I've mentioned to you many times, means the means oracle. It's simply an announcement. An announcement toward Nineveh. It is the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. Now, let's remember, in the Bible there is a passage that people many times abuse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm sure you've heard lots of sermons on it. Where there's no vision. And the idea is that when somebody preaches on that, it means that you have to have a vision of the future and have to see the prospects and have to see all of this. That isn't top side or bottom of what that verse means. That verse means this: where there is no inspired revelation, the people perish. In other words, if there is no vision from God, in other words, if God has not revealed himself, and that word is not talking about lift up your eyes and see a vision of what you can do for the Lord, and where the people don't have a vision for missions, and where people don't have a mission for Sunday school growth, and where people... Now, that may make good preaching, but that is not good hermeneutics, brother. Where there is no vision has to do with the fact that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and it is a revelation from God. And where there is not that, people perish. And now we have the vision of Nahum. We have the revelation of God to Nahum.
Where are you from, or what town?
That's the area from which he came. It was a name that they had, and I really couldn't answer the question because I've never studied that particular area. But apparently it's around that area of Galilee where Capernaum is, on the north shore. Now, in the next verses, we see God as holy. God is jealous. Now, that's a word that we don't really comprehend. To us, jealousy is a bad thing. He's a jealous husband. She's a jealous wife. And it has bad connotations. But that is not the connotation of this word. God is jealous. Now, Israel was God's chosen nation, and he did not want wrong done to that nation. The Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Now, we have all kinds of descriptions of God in our mind. I've used that expression that a lot of us think of God as a toothless old grandpa up in cloud nine dripping honey. You know, the other night I saw John Wayne being interviewed. And I'll talk to the man upstairs lots of times. And he was talking about how he likes to drink and how he likes to, his sexual misconduct. And so all in the same book. He's had cancer now, had surgeries for that. This was an interview that they were doing. I saw a fellow that was a big bar owner in New York. Well, the old man upstairs and I have a kind of a deal. Now, that's the way people think of God. Yeah. God is not that kind of God. And they have no concept of God. And I'm afraid a lot of the songs and a lot of the, even the preaching, has given that false impression. While God is love and God is merciful, you have to go on. God is holy and he is just, and he will not at all count the wicked innocent. Now, the next verse is very comforting. The Lord is slow to anger. You know, after all, great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. You're not going to come into God's court and have some lawyer pull some little trick and get you off. I don't know if you've noticed how often that happens anymore. But the guilty go free. Not because they have been declared innocent, but because of some little maneuver on the part of a lawyer. And that lawyer has been able to make some kind of an error on the part of the judge stand up, and that person goes free. We had a case here in Long Beach. This man drowned a child in a bathtub, and he ran in to the police station and said, "I have killed the child." Confess. But did you know that he got off because they had not read him his rights? But he came into but because they did not give him his rights before he confessed under the Miranda decision. That's right here in Long Beach. Yeah. Well, it's unbelievable what's happened. There's no man being released today who has refused to pay internal revenue on his winnings in the Irish sweepstakes. He's heading out today. No, well, but no, it's over. It's over in a foreign bank somewhere. but he gets out today. He'll get out of the country. Get over there and get it. But there are tricks. You know, that's the thing. Like he was mentioned, this fellow that pulled this computer swindle and bought the diamonds and so forth. He nearly got off on a search and seizure thing. $10 million deal. They still don't have the money. Internal Revenue has a claim on it, but they haven't gotten it yet. I don't know, the old man may die rich, but it'll all be over there. What is he, 67 years old? Something like that. He's not a spring chicken, we'll put it that way. But in God's court, you're not going to get off that way. The wicked will not be acquitted. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea, maketh it dry, dries up all the rivers. In other words, God is sovereign. You know, this idea of a boy, I remember the story of Abraham Lincoln. And they said, are you praying that God will be on your side in this election? He said, no, I'm praying that I'll be on God's side. You know. And isn't that the way we usually pray? How, Lord, get over here on our side, instead of us praying that, Lord, conform me to your will. Well, we have what we want to do, and we're going to tell God, now you come over here and work with us and do it the way I have this planned. And Lord, bless my efforts, you see, and bless me as I do it my way. But that isn't right. The Bible teaches that God is sovereign and God has his way. The mountains quake at him, the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Who can stand before his indignation? Ah, but just a minute. What about God's people? The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. Now you see, while we know that God is going to judge the wicked, while we know that God is sovereign and he is going to take care of these matters, he is good, he is strong, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Now you can depend on that. You can depend on him knowing you and caring for you. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do ye imagine against the Lord? Boy, we're going to plot. We'll fix the Lord. He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folding together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. Now, this is exactly what happened. Nineveh was a city given over to drunkenness. And the Chaldeans captured Nineveh. They had laid siege to Nineveh, but they were unable to destroy that city. It just didn't happen. Well, I'll get. And they were carrying on. They were having inside the walls, inside the city, They were having drunken pagan feasts. We don't care what those people out there, we've got it made. Well, there is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down, and they shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will not afflict thee. I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds as thunder. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image, and I will make thy grave, and thou art vile. Now, this is what's going to happen. What did happen? He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. The king of the Chaldeans was a cruel king. Vicious. Dash in pieces. Keep thy munition. Watch the way. Make thy loins strong. Fortify thy power mightily. You go ahead. You build up. Make yourself as strong as you can. For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. Now, you thought that you were the conqueror of Israel, but I used you as an instrument of punishment for my people. But now you get it. Now what happened? The shield of his mighty men is made red, and the valiant men are in scarlet. The chariot shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. The chariot shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad way. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightning. Now, if you have read some of the commentaries, you understand that automobiles and a prophecy about automobiles and the freeway system and so forth. Well, again, back poor hermeneutics. What happened, of course, was this. The walls of the city of Nineveh. And through the city ran a river. There in I can't remember the writer's name, but anyway, one of the ancient writers said that until the river became the enemy, Nineveh would always stand. Well, that's exactly what happened. The river overflowed, and it began to weaken the walls of the city. And it took out 20 furlongs of the wall. And it overflowed into the streets, in the palace. And the king, remembering this old prophecy, became panic-stricken and set the palace on fire. And the people were drunk in the street. And they were in their chariots with their torches, unable to defend themselves, trying to get away from the Chaldeans. This is literally what happened. This isn't some prophecy about automobiles and, you know, the headlights on automobiles and whatnot. Now, if that's your way of interpreting Scripture, well, that's all right, but you ought to understand how Scripture should be interpreted.
Didn't the Chaldeans block out the river?
No, you're thinking about the fall of Belshazzar. They blocked the river off and diverted it and went in. But here, the river overflowed from, and the sluice gates were weakened, you see. And when the sluice gates were weakened, the flood just overwhelmed the city internally. And he shall recount his worthies. They shall stumble in their walk. And they shall make haste to the wall. They ran trying, you know, let's get to the wall and defend ourselves here. And the defense shall be prepared. The gates of the river shall be opened, and the palace shall be dissolved.
But Aaron, it's true that he meant that the prophets of the people of Israel, or it's true that he made a big
funeral pyre?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
And burned his unit and concubine
himself. That's what he did. You've been reading, brother. That's exactly what you see, he felt that it was all, and it was over.
Jim Jones ain't got no first.
No.
Man.
Oh.
Well, he was first.
I guess he did. Yeah. How many of you have heard those tapes? Jim Jones. Isn't that fun? Hear those children crying in the background. And die with dignity, you know. And you know. See? You adults. You know. Stop these hysterics. Stop these hysterics. I mean, that when you think about it. And then, there are people that don't understand, have no comprehension of what this brainwashing does to people. Well, here's this fellow in Modesto shot him, killed himself this week. Remember, he had been a TV reporter, and he had gone over there just to do a news story, and became the public relations man for Jones, and down to the, and I mean, he wasn't some kind of a squirrel up to that point. Now he becomes so involved that he kills. And in this, he says, "This is no way for socialistic communists to act." I mean, in his dying statement, he identifies that he was a communist, and that was his principle. Well, a lot of people don't understand the issues, do they? You know, you go to your church, I'll go to mine, and all of us, we're working for the same thing. We're just taking a different road. Man. They're in the ditch. They're not even on the road. Well, and Hazab shall be led away captive, and she shall be brought up, and her maid shall lead her as with the voice of the dove, tabering upon their breast. But Nineveh is of old like a pool of water. Yet they shall flee away. Stand, stand, shall they cry. But none shall look back. Take ye the spoil of silver, take ye the spoil of gold, for there is none end of the store, and glory out of all the pleasant furnishings. She's empty and void and waste. Can you imagine reading this before it happened? You know, here is the capital of Assyria. We're not talking about some little hick town. I have a paper on my desk, Brother Cross laid there. and it's published in Dogpatch, Arkansas.
Oh.
Now, you probably didn't know there was a place called Dogpatch, Arkansas. Well, Arky's like you. How big a place would Dogpatch, Arkansas be?
About as big as Pocahontas.
I remember years ago, there was a lady joined the church where Dominion, and the song leader, they had known each other when they were, but had not seen each other all that time. But of course, her name now is a married name, and she's quite a heavy lady. And he had no, but of course, she recognized him because his name is still the same, you know, all that. And she walked up. You're from Pig Hill, aren't you? Pig Hill, Arkansas. Amen. It was Johnny Vineyard's dad. So you asked Johnny Vineyard if his dad was old enough to be from Pig Hill, Arkansas.
From Hellhole, Arkansas. Hellhole, Louisiana.
Hellhole, Louisiana. I tell you that, but Dogpatch, Arkansas. Oh well, but could you imagine a city of this? And it says she's going to be empty and void and waste. In fact, she becomes a gazing stock. Well, where is the dwelling of the lion? The feeding place of young lions, where the lion, even the old lion, walked, and the lion's whelp, and none made them afraid.
If anyone, the Greek soldiers passed through that area, they were on their
trek to India. The ruins that there are of Nineveh are on display in London. The few remnants that you just go there, there are gazing stocks. You just look at a few little relics. But in all of your Holy Land trips, anybody ever suggest, well, let's run over to Nineveh, take a look. It's gone, boy. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now that I think is the announcement of announcement. It's one thing to have people against. Remember Ezekiel 38. I am against thee. I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts. I will burn her chariot. I will cut off the praise, and the voice of thy messenger shall no more be heard. What's this all about? Well, here are the wicked things that come. Woe to the bloody city. Here was a city that was filled with vicious people. Here was a city that was filled with people that bloody. It is full of lies and robbery. That's what God hates. The prey departeth not. The noise of the whip, and the noise of the rattling of wheels, and the prancing horses, and the jumping chariots. Here are a war like nation. Well, he goes on, and the horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of the slain and a great number of carcasses, and there is no end of the corpses. They just killed and killed and killed and delighted in killing. I was listening to a newscast yesterday, and that being convicted of fellow. and the lawyer said they were being interviewed, and the judge showed no mercy. And they said, because this man delighted in what he was doing. You know, he'd go up and he, for no reason, would break somebody's arm. Yeah, he enjoyed stabbing them.
Yeah.
And the prosecuting attorney was being interviewed. And he said, that was one of the most vicious persons. He said he didn't do it with reason. He did it because he enjoyed it. He enjoyed hurting people. He enjoyed really being, well, can you imagine enjoying killing? And just, boy, carrying your scalps around your waist, whatever. Because of the multitude of thy whoredoms, of the well-favored harlot, the mistress, the witchcraft, that selleth nations through her whoredoms, and families through her witchcraft, behold, I'm against thee, saith the Lord. I will discover thy skirts upon my face. You know, I'll expose your nakedness. And God's not going to let this go undiscovered. I'm going to kill it. And I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee. That's right. You know, it's just covered over. And make thee vile and shall set thee as a gazing stock. And that's what I mentioned a while ago. What you see of Nineveh today is strictly a museum piece. You know, when you read about Jerusalem, let's go to Jerusalem, you know, and we can see Jerusalem, or we can see this, but not Nineveh. It shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan thee? Which shall I seek comforters for thee? Wow. Art thou better than populace? No. That was situate among the rivers. Here was another city that had been destroyed. Ethiopian Egypt were her strength, and it was infant. Put and Lubin were thy helpers, yet was she carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children all were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets, and they cast lots for her honorable men. And her great men were bound in chains. In other words, it looks like you learn from what has happened to other people. You know, you knew about this Noemon. You knew what happened there. Why don't we learn from history? You know, as I've mentioned to you, the philosopher Sofiana said that either you learn from history or you have to take the lesson yourself. He quoted Sofiana. That's right. All right, you can read. People have done this. Taken from the decline of the Roman Empire, certain things that led to the decline of the Roman Empire. And it's frightening to see what, but a long time before Armstrong, there were people going through Gibbons and picking out these things. Armstrong just picked up on what others had done. He never done independent research. But Edward Gibbon, you know, wrote The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. And in it, he sets out principles of decline. And here we're doing the same thing. And we don't even recognize that it's happening to us. In the name of liberty, we're broad-minded. You see, if you are open-minded enough, your brains fall out. There are people don't understand that there are some things that are true and some things that are false, and you just cannot go on.
Well, whatever you believe, okay.
That's just not so. Yeah. Sincerity is the criteria that they want to go by. Well, he describes the destruction of Noaman, and he says you should have learned from that. And then, of course, he ends up by showing that it was absolutely deserved. Notice verse 19. There is no healing of thy bruise, no turning back. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap the hands over thee. For upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? The whole world will be tickled to death when you get that.
All they hear the bruit.
The destruction. Well, next Thursday we will look at Habakkuk. And there was a guy that had why trouble? And you'll be very interested in. He starts out wondering, and then he says, "Whoa, I didn't mean all that. Let's go out." You know, it's a very interesting book. I hope you'll enjoy reading it this week.